Welcome. We invite you to enjoy this Word Alive message with Pastor Edwin E. Ford of Crossroads for Life Ministries, a voice in the next move of God. We know you'll be blessed by this spoken word of God as we tune into today's message.
I said, in it. In everything. Give thanks. For this is the will of God. In Christ Jesus for your neighbor. No, you like, you know, we come to church with shovels. This, Teddy, this is for you. Your praise is for you. Ain't no way in the world I'm going to let somebody count on you for my praise. I don't count on you to breathe for me. Why do I count on you? Man, I need to throw about 4 or 5 praise up for me. No, sir. Folk lie. You ain't one of them Christians that tell somebody, I'm going to be praying for you. You never do. Don't say that. Disown it. Don't say that. Just keep looking straight. Hallelujah. It's too important for me because it's the will of God. When I stand before God, I want to hear him say, well done. Hallelujah. Because when I needed you to praise me, you did. I got some tape on you. Ask your neighbor, do you got some tape praising? So I want to take this quick moment today, and we're going to share the Lord's Supper. Look at your neighbor. Say, neighbor. Oh, neighbor. My mama told me to tell you. Don't forget to say thank you. Father God, we thank you tonight for the word, God, even in the brevity of time. I ask you tonight, God, that you will think through my mind and speak through my vocal cords. Have your way in this Thanksgiving service tonight. In Jesus' name we pray, amen, amen, amen. Whatever you do, you may be seated. Don't forget to say thank you. How many times those who were raised in my era and in my time frame, and even before me, that you got interviewed when you got back in the car or in the house, and you received something from someone else, and your parents asked you, did you say thank you? It was against the law to receive any goods or services, and you did not say thank you. Thank you was the reciprocation that's required for any blessing. If you get anything that's perceived to be a blessing and not reciprocated with a thank you, it's illegal to keep the blessing. Because if we came in the house and told mama, no, we ain't say thank you, give it back. You can't keep nothing you ain't grateful for. Oh, I know, okay, I've been raised in another era. We can all acknowledge that sometimes in this life, circumstances prevail that we don't see the best in everything. Sometimes, y'all, if we just be honest with ourselves, because that's a gospel that's been perpetuated around the world, that if you're saved and sanctified and you live for God, if you give the right offering and you get the right touch, that you'll never have to deal with any negativity in life. But that's a lie from the west side of hell. Listen. The Bible said, they that live godly shall suffer persecution. Glory to God, many are the afflictions of the righteous. But God, somebody say thank you. Somebody say thank you. But the reason why we can say thank you, because we got a God that says, I'm going to get you out of all of it. I got a God that says, I'm going to always cause you, come on out, to triumph. Hallelujah. Because we live still in a world that's evil. Jesus said, in this world, you will have trouble. But be of good cheer. Tell them to get your praise on. But be of good cheer. Why? Because I've already overcome the world. And because I'm living in you, this is the victory that we have. Hallelujah. Because we have Jesus on the inside of us. We have the greater one in the inside of us. This is the victory over the country. Even our faith in that. That because he won, we win. Because he overcome, we're going to overcome. Hallelujah. Because he conquered, we are more than conquerors. Amen. And see, so Thanksgiving in our life, we thank God not just, not for it many times, but in it. Giving thanks is more about who you are than what happened in your life. I'm going to say that again. Giving thanks is more about who you are than what happened. Because if you are a thanker, it doesn't matter what happened. That's just what you do. So you got a lot of people who are happy, and you got people who are thankful. See, you can be happy without being thankful. But you can't be thankful and not be happy. No matter what happens in my life, I'm still grateful. Glory to God. We got people who are blessed but ain't grateful. We got children that got more toys than you ever could dream of, but they walk around with an attitude, sucking teeth. Okay, amen. Let me get off of that for somebody to get offended. This, a thankful spirit is one of the key distinguishing marks of a Christian. You'll know mine by the fruit that they bear. It's not because he's speaking in tongues. He didn't say about the gifts that they have. And so many people have been deceived because we try to determine who's who based on their giftings, on their anointing. And we predetermine this person is a believer. But Jesus never gave us that criteria to determine the depth or the walk or the sincerity or the genuality of a believer. He says, what kind of fruit coming out of? Because you can only get apples from an apple tree. You can only get thanksgiving from a true believer. Hallelujah. When you are truly born again, you can't think without thinking. When you truly have been changed and you truly have been passed from death to life, you can't think without thinking. Okay, let me see what Grandma said. He said, when I think of the goodness of Jesus. See, I don't care how bad things are going in your life. Tell them, think about it. Just think about it. Think about it. When you start thinking, you're going to start thinking. When you start your mind by remembrance of what, not where you are now, but what God brought you through. And many times you can get messed up dealing with wilderness Christians. Because they have a propensity to have temporary amnesia, dementia, and fatal case of Alzheimer's. Why do you call them wilderness Christians? Because in the wilderness, it's amazing when you get in the wilderness, you forget what all God brought you out of. This was the curse that occurred with the children of Israel. He just brought them out of 400 years of bondage. He just fed them manna during the day. He came back and gave them fried chicken, quail. I'm going to come over now. Then he gave them water out of a rock. And with all of that, they couldn't get no praise from him. All they did for 40 years was murmur and complain. Got more than enough. Don't even know where you can't even find all the clothes you got, and you can't think about a thank you. Tell them, I can't think without thinking. I was about to complain, then I stopped thinking. I was about to give up, then I just stopped thinking. I got in my car, and I just stopped thinking. I put on my clothes, and I just stopped thinking. There was a time I couldn't put two shoes together, and I stopped thinking. Look what he brought me from. Tell them, if I think, I think. Tell them, if I just stop thinking, I'm going to stop thanking him. You better about move. If you want to, better go ahead and move now, because if I stop thinking about all I come from and where I used to live and where I live at right now, when I think about him, oh God has done. Where, and not only where he's brought me from, mama, that's the good part, where he's taken. See, when you are a believer, you believe God. And I was praying so much about yesterday that he started showing me some glimpses. Come on now. He started giving me a foretaste. That's why the Bible says, forgetting those things which are behind. And when you start looking what God's about to do in your life, where God's about to take you, when you start tasting and seeing how good the Lord is, I got to go off again. at the red light, he'll start showing epiphanies of the greatness he's about to unveil in your life. If you be steadfast and unmovable, you better get out of my way, because I'm about to cut a Watusi up in here because of what God's about to do in my life. Anybody believe God? Hallelujah. Let's go. Let's wrap this up in this text. Paul is on his way to Rome, and he gets a layover in Corinth when he writes this letter to this young church in Thessalonica. And he writes to this church for this purpose because he's aware that when people are just saved, there's some challenges. I know you come into salvation with a lot of zeal, but you got to understand your zeal can get weary. Your zeal for God, and that's the problem now. That's why churches are empty, because the zeal has waned. They'll join a church, they're on fire, they're dancing, but when they have to go through the necessities of life, the zeal for God starts waning. So Paul thought to write a letter to them. He says, listen, I know you're a young church, I know you got great things in your future, but I want to encourage you that your faith, come on now. He said, I don't know, money might run short, things might get tight, might not feel good every day, but I don't need your faith to waver. You remember what Jesus told Peter? He said, Satan's going to try you. God, he come to sift you out this week, but I'm praying for you. I'm not praying for you that your situation changed. I'm praying for that your faith don't change. See, we pray wrong prayer. We want to pray about stuff that is going to be taken away from you. But God said, hallelujah, that's God's business. But what don't need to go, what has to stay the same, your faith. That's the problem with the church, why we can't get a consistent crowd, because from Sunday to next Sunday, their faith changed. They left out believing God, and they couldn't get around the corner good. And you're already having second thoughts. You're already getting double-minded. Paul said, I'm writing this letter to you because I don't want your faith to waver, that you might be sustained. So he lays out in this letter some church etiquette. You know how the women of God would come up at before service, and they would give out the church etiquette. They would give you out some housekeeping rules. See, if you want to maintain your house, this temple, this earthly tabernacle, if you want to be preserved until the coming of the Lord, that when you see him caught up in the air, I don't know what you believe, post-trib, mid-trib, pre-trib, I don't know what it is, but you want to be ready when the Lord returns. He says, here's three little points, hallelujah, that you need to examine. Because we understand as believers, if you're going to be successful, you can't render evil unto evil. Because love worketh no ill. That's not one of my points, because I thought y'all knew that part. See, that's the reason why a lot of our praise is hindered, because we don't even know the basics. He says, so first and foremost, listen. Those who have passed from death to life, we don't play eye for eye, tooth for tooth no more. It'll mess up a good old Thanksgiving holiday because you so mad at somebody about what they did to you, so I'm going to spite you. I ain't coming to dinner. So we understand. You understand verse 15. Say, don't render evil for evil. Hallelujah. You can't live a life that's pleasing to God on the payback. Your prayer's going to hit the ceiling, baby, if you're living for the payback. I'm going to get you. Okay. And the reason why that is so strong and so important is your testimony will be hindered. I know we don't talk a lot about that. But the reason why God said, you need to understand that now, you know, this basic Christianity. He said, you're almost ineffective to the kingdom of God because you got a bad testimony. How in the world you say you love God, you trying to get back the same people God trying to save? Okay, let me get point number one. Hallelujah. Because many of us know why we praise God. I said, if you think. But many don't understand how to praise God. I know why he woke me up this morning. He started me on my way, put food on my table, put clothes on my back. We know the Old Testament. But do you know how? The Bible said my people are destroyed for a lack of what? Knowledge. They don't know how. So he gives us these three. First, beginning at verse number 16, he says, rejoice always. You find yourself in different situations where things are not working out to your favor. And you're going to have days like that. He said, have thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is the cure for bad starts. This is why I believe our forefathers celebrated or founded this day, though it was a product of the Spirit of God. They manifested it through their thanksgiving because they had a bad start but a good finish. I say you can have a bad start, but if you know how to implement the rules of the game, if anybody having a bad start this week, you can change that today. Rejoice. I know that sounds like big boy talk. I know. That's easy for you to say. No. It's right for me to say. Because if you want to change your bad start, you got to know how to rejoice regardless. Okay, I'm going to put that in there. Rejoice regardless of what comes your way. We ought to rejoice and give God praise. To rejoice. To revive. To do it again. You got to know how to do whatever it was that got you where you were. You got to know how on a daily basis to do it again. Y'all don't remember those old carts. We used to have to wind them up. Now everything, technology has killed our theology. Now everything's automated. Everything now, you don't even have to change the clock no more. Automatically your phone will reset itself. But there's some things you got to do manually. You got to manually stir up. Come on now. I know y'all finna go make some pound cake and red velvet cake and all that. You got that cake ain't going to make itself. Hallelujah. I know they may have some automated system, but you got to stir that stuff up. And the better you stir, the better it bakes. Hallelujah. So you have to rejoice. Secondly, you have to pray without ceasing. Prayer is not outlawed. If this is the etiquette, if you're going to be strong, if you're going to make it, if you're not going to win, if your faith is going to overcome the challenges of your life, you got to learn how to pray again. Now, pray without ceasing is not walking around talking about every second you're trying to keep a job, you got fired again because you prayed without ceasing. No, you didn't pray without ceasing. You didn't have common sense. When the Bible talks about praying without ceasing, it literally means that we're to be like a person with an intermittent cough. Literally in the Greek, it means to be like a person with an intermittent cough. What do you mean? Have you ever had a cough that couldn't come out? It's right in the back of your throat and all through the day. But it's always a little tickle right there in the back of the throat. He said, that's how prayer should be for you. At all times, a cough is possible. At any time, a cough can break out. I thought about tagging this text with this title, Let Me Clear My Throat. He said, prayer should be right there. That anytime you may need to talk to Jesus, let me clear my throat. I got to pray. I got to get out. Glory to God. I got something I need to tell God about. You should be always there. A prayer should always be resident in your mouth. Ever ready to pray. Going through a bad time, let me clear my throat. Child got an accident, let me clear my throat. I ain't got to go get no prayer. That prayer is always right there in the back of your throat. Glory to God. Last and finally, but whatever you do, don't forget, in everything, give thanks. That's it. We're going on. For this is the will of God concerning you. He reminds this young church that the zenith, the apex of the Christian experience is to be able to say thank you. You have arrived. You have reached your place in God, because now no matter what's going on in my life, I've got the intestinal fortitude to tell God thank you. You talking about going to another, that's another level in God, that no matter what the enemy throws at you, you can be at a Philippian jail at 12 o'clock, everybody else sleeping, and you got a nurse that turn up, come on now, hallelujah. You can tell God, thank you, Lord, for all you've done for me. If you really say that you're going to another level, but you fail to give God thank you, you are still in the incubator of the Christian walk. The reason why you have not arrived and overcame, because you are not fully developed. Your form is not come to place, because you're unable to give God thanks in everything. Tears in your eyes, you saying thank you. Money, funny, change, strange, thank you. Friends of few, thank you. Don't know, well, come on now. What is that? What's that? Then I got a light bill too. Then I got a gas bill too. Telephone disconnect. Waiting for my next paycheck. Tell you what you ought to do. Tell you what you ought to do. I'm a witness. He'll see you through. All you got to know is give God some thanks. I gave it over to the Lord, and he worked it out. Work it out. Oh, but quick. Paul said it's the will of God. Praise and thanksgiving is more than a feeling. It's a personification of your faith. You know you got a real walk with God. That's when your faith becomes personal. Better said, a person. It becomes real. You authenticate your faith when you can praise God, not thank, praise him in everything. God becomes real. See, God is waiting for your praise to manifest your faith. Romans 10 said, what saith it? The word is nigh thee. In thy mouth. Come on now, come on. It's got to first be in your mouth. We want it in our pocket, but you ain't got it in your mouth. You want it in your body, but did you have it in your mouth? We're skipping steps, baby. If you got to put praise in your mouth, if you want God in your moment, don't miss the mouth to get a moment, baby. Hallelujah. If you want to see God do a miracle, you got to put some praise in your mouth and say, if I can but touch the hem of his garment, oh, come on now. When you put praise in your mouth, you're going to see a miracle in your life. Mary, the mother of Jesus, told him in the first miracle in Cana, he said, whatever he tells you to do. Men, y'all stand up. We finna go. I'm done. Glory to God. Stand up. We about to serve the Lord's Supper. Glory to God. Come on, gentlemen. I need you moving. Y'all already looking at me funny. Don't forget to say thank you. We want wine, but we. But we won't do what he tells us to do. want to be made whole, but we won't do what he tells us to do. We want our prayers answered, but we won't tell him, won't do what he tells us to do. Philippians says that be anxious for nothing. Philippians 4. But all things through prayer and supplication. Hold up. Don't forget. Don't forget. Y'all got Philippians 4 and 6 up there. Put it up there right there. I said, don't forget. Before you put your hands down and eat that turkey tomorrow, don't forget. If you want to bless and conquer and consecrate your life, don't forget. With thanksgiving. You just go to these resorts and for all of us who have no money, timeshares. And it's to tell you, don't forget to tip the waiter or the waitress. He said that completes the circle. They brought you good food. They served your room. They took care of you. He said, but don't forget the tip. Because if you do that, somebody's going to be left wanting. You had a good time. You enjoyed yourself. You had a great vacation. But they go home weeping because they can't pay their bills. Because you forgot to say thank you. Well, I told them thank you. Said, no. They said they need a gratuity. The gratuity is not what they think about you. It's what you think about them. Were you grateful for the service that they rendered unto you? And so what shall we render unto them for the benefit of service you got this week? And we can do it in the natural. We'll leave $10, $20, $100 for a piece of something to fill your stomach. How much more would you give for your soul? I just want to tell him thank you. What's too good for him? Look at the service he gave you today. Go to the hospital morgue right now and ask them, what would you pay to put life back in that body? Day I lost one of my best friends in this life, man that was always there with a smile, Kenneth Gandolf Keck. That was my friend. Said, Mr. Ford, what would you do to get Gandhi back here one more day? What kind of tip would you leave me? Hey, talk about Chicago. What kind of tip? A lot of during the Thanksgiving, a lot of people have lost loved ones during this time of the year. If you were to ask any one of them, what would you give to give life back into them? Doctor, here go the checkbook. Do what you need to do. Do what you need to do. God's been good to us every day. But we have to complete the circle. All this stuff you got in here. But I want to tell you today, don't forget. Some people are still sick in their body because only thing, the circle ain't fulfilled. Did you tell him thank you? He healed 10 lepers. 10 lepers got healed. Go show yourself to the priest. And all the way, they ain't even got there. God did it in advance. They all were healed, Cal. But only one out of 10 turned around and completed the circle. And it's so easy to do, but we refuse to do because you don't believe he did it. Why didn't the other 9 come back? Because they wrote it off on coincidence. He didn't even talk to me. So I know that. If you don't think nobody did nothing for you, you won't tell them thankful. The complete opposite of the word thankfulness is another word called complaining. Even though the scales of your life far outweigh good over bad, you got more good, you got two bad marks on one side, and you got tons of good. But with all of that, because if your heart is not grateful, you will look at the two things of good and forget all, two things of bad and forget all, and complain. And God said, I done did all of this. Thank you, Lord. Don't forget to say thank. Get my music, Tasha. I'm going to play my music. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer. We want to thank God today for the opportunity to share at his table. The Bible says, often as you remember this, he comes and invites us to this table to celebrate. Jesus calls his followers out from the world to gather in his name. We assemble around this table on tonight. And we invite those who are here, those who may be at home, if you prepare the victuals to celebrate with us, to let our thoughts now be centered on what this tape, this table represents. It represents his blood that was shed on Calvary. It represents his body he gave up on that cross that was broken for you. The blood that was shed for you. The goodness of God. No greater love. No greater love than a man that would lay down his life. He said, remember that. And when you remember that, just tell me thank you. Just tell me thank you. That's all I want to hear you say. Thank you. This is so important to him that he tells his followers that we are to examine ourselves at this time of rededication to him and service. For we eat of this meal. Bible says anyone that eats unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself. Because we have improperly discerned the body of Christ. The Bible says many people are sleeping or die early death or sick in their bodies. So I want you tonight, this is personal. Parent, I leave it to your charge to govern your children. But if there's anything in your heart tonight, not right. Hallelujah. All my life he's been faithful. I want you to pray as we pray this prayer. Ask God for forgiveness. I don't want nothing. I don't want to eat and drink of this body unworthily. I want to be fit and suitable and meet for the master. Father God, we come today, God, to serve your meal. Father, we pray right now today, Lord Jesus, if there's anything in our hearts and our minds, any sins of omission, commission, or disposition, I'm asking you now, forgive us. Purge us with hyssop and wash us. That means we'd be whiter than snow. Father, we just come to say thank you. We just come to complete the circle that we might be made whole as we partake of this meal that heals. God, I pray as we partake of your body and drink of your blood, which is the New Testament, we pray, God, every promise you made be made manifest in our lives as we give you praise and thanksgiving today. Father, we want to say thank you. Thank you so much, God. Thank you for covering us and keeping us. Thank you for the hedge of protection all about us. Thank you for meeting every need in our lives. Thank you for rebuking the devourer for our sake. Thank you for opening up the windows of heaven this year and pouring us out of it. Thank you for letting us be here a whole nother year. A lot have lost. A lot have left. but you still left us here. And for this we say, thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, as we prepare to receive and partake of this meal. We declare as we ingest it into our bodies, physically, spiritually, let your kingdom come. Let your will be done. Let miracles, signs, and wonders follow the partaking of this meal today. God, reunite us, recommit us, reunify us back to you, God. Remember us as we remember you. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen.
Thank you for listening to this powerful message of Jesus Christ. Please join us for one of our life-changing services. Service times are Sunday at 10:30 a.m. Thursday night Bible study begins at 7 p.m. For more information on this ministry, log on to crossroadsforlife.com. And as always, remember, choose life.